If you've been wanting to work with me one-on-one, this is for you. If you're an ambitious woman balancing the demands of motherhood and your career, or you're a business owner and you're done talking about your challenges and you are determined not only to find a solution, but to feel alive and energized while getting the support you need, I've got you. There's nothing more frustrating than asking for help only to feel like it's one more thing added to your to-do list. Head on over to heatherchauvin.com/focus. Take 2 minutes, fill out the application to work with me one-on-one, and we'll be in touch. One of my strengths and what my clients always tell me is I have a gift of looking at your current situation and showing you exactly where you need to focus to get the results your soul is craving. My work is designed to empower women like you to reclaim your capacity, increase profits, and strengthen your relationships. Join the countless women already seeing incredible results. Picture having me by your side every step of the way, ensuring your success. Visit Heather Chauvin, chauvin.com/focus, and apply today. That's heatherchauvin.com/focus. Let's talk about kids and boundaries. And I'm going to talk about specifically that resistant child. I'm using air quotes, the problem child. I get a lot of questions from my clients and listeners about holding boundaries with our kids, holding boundaries with my teenager. And I have 3 boys. And so boundaries has been a skill that I've developed over 19 years. And it is also the most number one, wildly underrated skill that a human can hold, because boundaries with our children cross over to our own personal lives, our work, our other relationships. And in my opinion, I have incredibly high respect for people who know how to hold a boundary, because it actually makes my life easier. Being in a relationship with somebody who has really good, healthy boundaries. And so today specifically, I want to tell a story about a client who was talking to me the other day, and she was talking about her daughter and the bedtime issue, right? So if you ever struggle getting your child out of your bed or trying to have a healthy bedtime routine, I know that this is a huge challenge for a lot of people. So I'm going to be talking about that. But first, I just want to talk about, as an adult, how it feels to be in a relationship with somebody who has really, really healthy boundaries. So, number one, if you have ever, when my team has boundaries, I love it. As a visionary and a go-getter and an ambitious, driven person, I have a lot of ideas. And when my team has boundaries, like they don't work on weekends, or they're not going to respond to my email, or like, you know, we have working hours, and they know how to manage their energy, their expectations. I mean, this is what I teach people, so I really encourage it as well. I love when they're like, I'll get to this on Monday, or they don't even respond to my messages, because I respect other people's boundaries. So I'm like, hey, I'm just doing a brain dump. Like, I have no expectation that you are going to act on this right now. Here's my point. I don't spend the mental energy worrying about trying to manage the other person's energy. That's just my team. Let's talk about relationships. This could be my husband. It could be friendships. I would say friendships are probably the trickiest. But if you go with someone and you're like, hey, what do you want to do? Like, let's go out for a girls' night. What do you want to do? And they're like, oh, I don't care. And you pick a restaurant and you're like, okay, we're going to go here. And you can tell that person doesn't like the restaurant, but they didn't want to say anything, right? Or they like, whatever. you can tell and you can feel that energy. So then you start to overcompensate and you're like, well, where do you want to go? What do you want to do? You're trying to please them. If that other person had healthy boundaries and they were like, I don't want to go there. What about here? Or can we go at this time? Like, they just communicate what they want and what they feel. It's so much easier. You are saving people so much time and energy when you have healthy boundaries. But here's the tricky part. When you are starting to change your identity, first of all, I feel like I butchered my examples a little bit, but I'm hoping you understand what I'm saying. Becoming the type of person who has healthy boundaries, that's emotionally uncomfortable, especially when it's in parenting. It's way easier for me to instill a boundary with somebody who I did not give birth to, or that has this primal like fear and instinct that I'm going to fuck up this kid, or if I mess this up, I have failed as a human. So it's so much easier for me to hold a boundary with other people than it is with my own children. Okay. So I'm right there with you too. But you have to understand it's healthy to have boundaries. Okay. So write that down. It's healthy for my children for me to have boundaries. I actually think that might even be more motivating. Writing that down. It's healthy for my children for me to have boundaries. And when you can believe that me having boundaries, it's actually healthier for my children. Like, it's better for my children when I have boundaries. Like, that needs to be your mantra. Because the journey from point A to point B of not having boundaries to implementing a boundary is going to mentally feel like you are trying to get sober. And I am not under exaggerating or even trying to play off that statement I just said, because you are trying to break a very addictive pattern in your brain. And I am not the type of person who is going to cite studies and bullshit you. All I know is from my own personal experience and people that I have worked with, watching them break a pattern, an emotional pattern, especially when it comes around boundaries, is literally trying to give up an addiction, because it's an addictive thought process. It's an addictive behavior, and it is incredibly emotionally manipulative, and you are going to have to work very consistently. So this is a pattern that I've helped people break over the last decade of working with them in many areas of their life, but specifically when it comes to children and bedtime. Because I believe we are very vulnerable at the bedtime time. And we are like, our defenses are kind of like down, and we're just like, fuck it. We'll start again tomorrow. We'll start next week. We'll start at this age. And so I got a message from a client, and she was talking about like trying to break this bedtime routine with her daughter, and her daughter's 11 years old. And she's like, Heather, she's still sleeping with me. And since joining your program, I have realized how burnt out I am. And as I'm starting to implement the tools and strategies that you have taught us, I'm realizing that this bedtime issue is a huge energy leak, and I have to face it. And so she started implementing boundaries. She started to make like the statements of, okay, honey, you're going to go in your bed, you're going to do the thing. And the child, of course, is giving her pushback, right? And she's saying mean things. She's saying, like, our children become incredibly emotionally manipulative with their words when they are emotionally uncomfortable. It's not necessarily truth. They're fighting back with their words, right? It's like a verbal tantrum. And so as an adult, we have learned to be more mindful of the words that come out of our mouth and to say them sometimes. I mean, some adults don't. They say hurtful things. But if you are a mindful, self-aware adult, you are going to be incredibly mindful of what you're saying to another adult because you know that your words have power, right? And children don't know that yet. They don't have that skill. They don't have that part of their brain. And so they just spew it out. They kind of just puke their words on you. So she said, I tried to hold the boundary and I made the statement as like, honey, you have to essentially sleep in your bed tonight. And so the child was like, I don't like you. You're being mean. You're abandoning me. Like your child will say every single thing that is your like biggest insecurity. Like they will just go cut to the chase. They'll just like, ugh, they'll get you right in the heart. And so what's happening in your being when they're doing this is they're literally stabbing every tiny little wound and insecurity that you have. And if you are not mindful of this, you are just going to resort back to your comfort zone. Even though your comfort zone may not be serving you anymore, you're going to say, okay, fine, just crawl in my bed. And when the child crawls back into bed, what you're actually saying to them is, I can't hold a boundary. I cannot hold a boundary. That's what you were saying to the child. So the child crawls back into your bed and they know, right? They're watching you. So you are conditioning them that, okay, if I say this, I can get her. This is what the child's doing. If I say this, I can get her, him, like them, to give me what I want, to make me emotionally comfortable. The child is not trying to manipulate you, I don't believe. I mean, some people would be like, I have a little narcissist. I mean, they're very egotistical. They're supposed to be. That's how their brain is. But that child is just doing whatever they need to do to get to live, like to survive. And that is their brain's way of trying to keep them safe because they want to feel safe. They want to feel connected. So they're going to do whatever they can to feel safe, comfortable, and connected. But please understand that our brain tries to keep us alive. Our brain does not try to get us to thrive. Okay. So our brain tries to keep us alive. It does not care about thriving. Thriving is on the other side of being emotionally uncomfortable. So when your child does this and you know they're resorting back to their comfort zone, that is when you have to hold the boundary. So the child comes back into the bed and you're like, oh my God, I failed. Oh my God. But you're comfortable. This is normal for you. You're routined. Then child goes back. Day starts again. You're like, okay, I'm going to start again tonight. You're going in your bed, blah, blah, blah. Child's like, yeah, yeah, whatever. I know her routine. She tells me this. And by 8 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning, I can get back in her bed. So how do we change this? Well, patterns are very emotionally uncomfortable to change. So regardless of how old your child is, and I am not a certified sleep coach by any means, I'm just a mother with a lot of years of experience and somebody who's determined to feel alive and aligned. And I have worked with a lot of people when it comes to helping them kind of own their power, own how they want to feel, and really essentially teaching their children emotional regulation skills. A quick word about today's sponsor, AG1. It's important to me that the supplements I take are of the highest quality, and that's why for years I've been drinking AG1. Unlike many supplement brands, AG1 is constantly searching for how to do things better. At 52 iterations of their formula and quality, for AG1 isn't just a buzzword. It's a commitment backed by expert-led scientific research, high-quality ingredients, industry-leading manufacturing, and rigorous testing. At each step of the process, AG1 goes above and beyond industry standards. I know I can trust what's in every scoop because it's tested for over 950 contaminants and banned substances, while most of industry standards typically only test for 10. Isn't that crazy? And bonus, my kids love it, especially my teens. Trust AG1 for consistent daily support. Take control of your well-being with AG1. Experience it now and enjoy a complimentary 1-year supply of vitamin D3K2 along with 5 free travel packs with your initial purchase at drinkag1.com/EU. That's drinkag1.com/EU. When you hold the boundary with your child, you will watch and observe everything that was holding your child back from being, from like doing the thing. Okay. So I always tell people, you don't necessarily have to talk about the past. Like, you do not need to ruminate in your past. The second you give yourself permission to go after what you want and desire, you will very, very quickly see how, what has been holding you back. Okay. So if you make a goal, you go after that goal, it is 100% guaranteed that barriers are going to pop up. And those barriers are the opportunity for healing and growth. So that is why I'm all about, what's your vision? What do you want? What do you desire? Instead of, let's just talk about the past, let's ruminate in the past, because you're not actually moving forward. But the reason why a lot of people do not want to move forward is because of this exact moment. They do not want to feel their feelings. They do not want to learn new skills. They do not want to sit in the emotional discomfort of their upper limits. Child is about to come back in your bed. You've already stated the boundary. You have said, listen, honey, you got to stay in your room. You can make the room as beautiful as you desire, as calming as they desire, and you are going to say, you have to stay in this room. I don't care what you need. If you need a white noise machine, if you like need nothing, do not put electronics in their room. If there is a TV in their room, take the TV out of their room. Just make it a very calming environment and probably decluttered as well. Taking all the toys out of their room. I mean, they could have a few things to play with, but less is more in a bedroom. Then you are going to state the boundary, but you also need to essentially give yourself a week grace period. So whether you are like, I am fucking determined, you need to become the type of person that becomes determined to solve your problems. Not like, I'm 10% committed to solve my problems. No, you need to be 110% committed. You need to run towards your resistance. If you do not run towards your resistance, you are literally going to get 10% results. You need to be all in. Most of the time, the reason why people do not get results is because they are not all in. And understand your weaknesses, understand your weak spots. And if you're like, it's 9 o'clock at night when, you know, my child crawls back into bed with me and I'm already sleeping. So you need to stay committed to the process, and you need to, whether somebody else is there with you, but get up, you bring the child back to their bedroom, and you can do that 85 times a night if needed. You will be fatigued. It will be sleep regression. But I'm telling you right now, in order to change a boundary identity, like the story you tell yourself around a boundary, you have to be consistent. Because you have conditioned and trained your child that this is what happens. And that's fine. We all get into bad habits, but breaking them is really, really difficult when you've waited too long. And so oftentimes people give up and they're like, screw up, fuck, I've screwed up my kid. my life is over. It's like, if that's your attitude, like you're playing the victim. So I would say give it a few weeks and you have to be determined. You literally have to say, I'm done feeling like shit. I am done getting not good sleep. And I know it's disrupting my child's sleep as well, especially if I'm disrupted. And if it's not disrupting your child's sleep at night, it's disrupting your relationship with your child during the day. Because when it's disrupting your relationship with your child during the day, because you are not sleeping well. Now, here's the things I want to say. Part of the reason why it's so difficult to hold a boundary with our kids is because there's a lot of grief involved in this process. I remember specifically my middle one deciding to crawl into bed with us, and I co-slept with my kids for a very, very long time. Sometimes it was disruptive and sometimes it wasn't. And I also understand that our culture is like very individualized and all about, let your kids sleep in their own room. And I would co-sleep with my kids today if they were in my bed. My kids are 11, 14, and 19. I would love co-sleeping. But here's what I'm talking about. And sometimes they are in my bed, like the 11-year-old will crawl into bed. But what I've noticed over the years is there's seasons where it's disruptive and then there's seasons or nights when it's okay. Once in a while is okay if I'm like, yeah, I wake up and I feel refreshed. But when a child is sleeping with you and you're thinking, this is not the season, like I need space, I need rest, you have to give yourself permission to need that. But the guilt comes up and the grief of my child is growing up. And these are the hidden emotions that is actually the true reason as to why it's difficult to hold a boundary. Because we don't want to grieve. We don't want to grieve the loss of our baby. We don't want to grieve the loss of, you know, our child. And the guilt. A lot of times people are like, that's the only time I get to connect with my kids. I'm working all the time. So at the core of all of this, you have to say, okay, this is not healthy right now because my sleep is disrupted. I want to change this pattern, but I'm in a season where I just don't have it in me to do that. That's okay. I am not standing here or sitting here to try to tell you how to parent. My goal is to empower you to trust yourself, to empower you to do the emotionally uncomfortable thing. So when I hear a parenting expert or an ex-sleep expert tell me that sleeping with my children is bad and disruptive and I need to get my children out of my bed, my immediate thought is, you are a disconnected parent. You are like, who hurt you? Okay. But there is some truth in that. You have to ask yourself, is this pattern in my life healthy or unhealthy? And you know the truth. You know if it's healthy or unhealthy. And if the answer is if it's unhealthy or it's not serving you right now, then that's okay. And maybe your rule is, honey, you cannot sleep with me during the week, but you can sleep with me one night on the weekends. Like, make rules around it. Because here's the point. What is going to serve you in your highest good? And what is going to serve your child? And the last thing I wanted to talk about is the child's reaction. Not only are they going to be manipulative emotionally, but verbally, their bodies may react in the sense of they might have nightmares. They may cry themselves to sleep. They may cry so much that they're going to puke. They may have severe anxiety, and that is why they want to sleep with you. But here's the truth. You are teaching your children how to cope with their uncomfortable emotions. And so you can try all the things, but sometimes we have to allow our children to feel their feelings. And growing up, I had a relationship with my mother where I would sleep in her bed. And I also had experiences where I didn't sleep in her bed. And I remember when I didn't sleep in her bed, sometimes having that feeling of loneliness or isolation because I was an only child. And I mean, it doesn't matter if you're in your bed by yourself at 10 years old or if you are in your bed as an adult, you will be left with these feelings at some point in your life. So over the years, what I noticed is, of course, I loved connection. I loved cuddling with my mom. But if she would have empowered me to feel my feelings, I would have had a very different childhood than what I did. And so oftentimes we are parenting from a place of our own little child and saying, oh my gosh, I just never want my children to feel the way I felt as a child, or I don't want to dismiss their feelings. And this comes back to, we've swung to the opposite side of the pendulum again, and we're forgetting that we're not abandoning our children because we're holding a boundary. We are simply stating, I need to do this for my health and for your greater good. And it is emotionally uncomfortable. And so the journey is to be able to sit with your feelings and to allow your child to sit with their feelings and navigate the messy middle. And that's where the magic happens. So this episode today is not about the perfect way to set a boundary. This episode is in hopes that it gets you to think about your routines with your children and yourself, and even you with other adults and other people, and how you are not holding a healthy boundary and what you're actually avoiding by not doing that. So this goes with time, how you manage your time, how you manage your energy, how you manage your money, and how you just give things away, time, money, energy, because you don't want to make other people uncomfortable versus what do I need? What do I need? And so when you truly begin to believe that your needs matter, you will see how it's actually beneficial for other people too. Let me know if this was beneficial for you. Head on over to Instagram at Heather Chauvin, Chauvin. Send me a DM. Let me know your biggest takeaway. And thank you, as always, for screenshotting it and tagging me. It really makes a big impact, and other people find the show as well. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I sometimes joke that I wish I taught people how to make green smoothies for a living. But I know I'm doing that because I'm trying to run away from what brings me joy. And what brings me joy is helping women and men, families in general, and children feel alive. And sometimes that journey to feeling alive is painful. It's emotionally uncomfortable, and it's not always easy. This is why I created the Aligned Life Quiz. So if you're tired of being tired, you want to stop just surviving, and you want to find out exactly where to focus and access realistic tools to confidently manage your energy, emotions, and impact, you can head on over to Heather Chauvin, chauvin.com/life quiz. It takes you 2 minutes, and it's going to show you, I call them internal leadership skills. Where do you need to focus your energy and attention for the quickest results? And also, which phase are you living in? So head on over to heatherchauvin.com/life quiz to take the Aligned Life Quiz right now. If you're ready to stop just surviving and you want to start thriving, but you don't know how to manage it all, go there. It will take you 2 minutes and it will change your life. I also, on the inside, show you which podcast episodes to listen to based on your quiz results. heatherchauvin.com/life, L-I-F-E, quiz.